Hello and welcome to The Cast of Us, a podcast dedicated to The Last of Us on HBO and brought to you by the Fan Critical Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us for this, what is a full review, a deep dive and a spoiler cast for The Last of Us. Once again, though, I am joined by my clan of survivors and by a man many hunters are searching for, someone who knows how to frustrate and annoy and sometimes, well, most of the time, disappoint with his highly critical views. It's John.
Hello. Hello there, everyone that's disappointed.
Hello, that sounded pleasant.
Back. Yeah.
Mm. You missed offend.
Yeah. Very, very offensive young man is our John.
Yeah.
But hopefully not today.
Young.
And that other meek, weak voice that you hear is a man who has bundled his way through the apocalypse, eaten all of our supplies, hunted nothing, and someone who has spread illness and ravaged our community. It's Gareth.
Mm. Eaten all of your supplies.
You make rat like, boy.
Make it sound like I'm fat.
Rat man. No, he's very slight. You've
athletic.
Got you are a bit of a nightmare for the apocalypse in a way. Your metabolism's too good. Mm. That it causes you just to waste away, even though you eat everyone's supplies.
Yep. Fat.
Now, Gareth, do you want to disclose the information to the listeners, confirming suspicions that they all had and accusations that we have levelled against you? Can you please confirm your health status at the moment?
Fine, absolutely fine. I'm here. I'm doing... Oh, hold on, sorry. My phone's making noises. It's not on silent, is it?
Is that his phone or yeah, that's his heart monitor?
Confirmation from the doctor. I will survive.
Is that your heart monitor? Because I've got evidence here, Gareth, of a message from you 10 minutes ago saying that you're not very well and can we hurry up
yes,
and do the podcast?
But here's a little thing. Here's what I'm going to disclose to the listeners. The reason I'm not very well is because I went and met up with Len on Sunday and shared a bowl of chips.
It's not always Len's fault.
It's not always me, though, is
it? This time
it
was, wasn't it?
I haven't got you sick every single... Anyway, you're living up to your name as the sick, weak member of the group. And that's okay. But as long as you just are at peace with it, I think the listeners would appreciate that. They hate your little, you know, oh, I'm not sick. But you are, you know? They can hear it in your voice, Gary.
I think I sound very well. Sound healthy.
Anyway... enough of your meekness. How are we both? Are we all right, other than Gareth's illness? John, you trudging along over there in the UK?
Yeah, all right. There's a weird, like...
odour.
Odour. Yeah, there's a weird odour in this room. Whose pants are these? just the UK weather at the moment, it's all over the place. We've had a fairly promising couple of days where the sun comes out. But obviously it's seen the economy and run off again. So it's freezing again.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Disaster.
Just makes me yearn for the Aussie sun. Maybe
warning.
I'll come over and get ill all the time like you two.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
What fuck happens. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Good point.
It's a mess.
Yeah. Well, everyone knows why we're here, and that is to discuss episode
Gaz's
four
health.
Of The Last of Us and Gaz's health. Episode four is titled Please Hold to My Hand, and I'm going to kick things off with the J-Man, J-Meister General, because he wasn't in the hot take and everyone's itching to hear his thoughts on the episode. Please, J-Meister General, give us a score on your little blueberry
scale. Score him, John.
And let us know your thoughts on the episode.
Yeah, just John will do, to be honest. This...
J-Bone.
Yeah. Do you just call me J-Bone?
Yep.
Okay. That's the first. this, I think, is the worst episode of the season. I don't think it's a particularly bad episode. It's just one where... It's weird, actually, because it's the sort of episode that they need to start building some of the relationship that Joel and Ellie will have. But then it's interspersed with this group where do they go again?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City.
Kansas, that's the one. Kansas.
No, Kansas City, John.
All right, Kansas City. All right. All the same, it isn't.
Missouri.
I thought that was a bit rubbish, to be honest. It just felt like... Do you know what? It felt very The Walking Dead, where I'm like,
I knew he was gonna say that.
Honestly, the trash people just turning up. Rick Grimes stumbling all over the place. Oh, he's back, finally. Too much of it reminded me of that. When someone asked me before this season began, they were like, oh, you know, it's zombies and that. And I was like, well, not really, but sort of, I guess. And they said, well, what's going to be the difference between this and The Walking Dead?
Sorry, John.
And I always said
when
that...
When you say somebody, this is your wife, isn't it?
No. Someone else, actually.
Someone who's just delivering
Amazon to the door. I said, okay, sir, but I give the delivery here. I don't know why he sounds like that.
Where's he from?
Where's he from, mate?
Where's he from? Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
I said that the difference between this and something like The Walking Dead is that the story will be a lot more personal, and it will be a lot more focused on these two characters. It will be a smaller story. And this kind of drifted too much into the, hey, man, we're another bad group. And it's like, oh, just go away. I don't really... And I don't want to have a go at her. What's her name?
Melanie Linsky.
I'm going to get annihilated for saying this because I know she's got a nice little fandom.
Here we go.
She plays the same role in everything she's ever been in.
Ooh.
Like, there's no difference.
They're coming for you now. They're coming for you now, John.
Yeah. She's on the phone. That same, like, nothing look and wobbly lip and small mouth. She
what do you want her to do? Get a bigger mouth?
Yes, CGI it. It's different, isn't it? Who's this actually? I've never seen this character before. Bit of a big mouth.
Superman.
Yeah, it's she was obviously in Castle Rock as you referenced in the hot take.
And I mean
she was okay in that. You know, there was at least a reason why she was just a bit awkward. Obviously, she had the Shining, didn't she? From memory,
yeah, basically, yeah. Spoiler warning, but yeah.
Well, no one's going back to watch that. We'd have been superstars in the podcast world if that series would have taken off. So I'm still bitter about that.
Very true.
So I am going to score this, and I don't want people going mental about this score. By the way.
They're going to go mental.
But I'm going to give it 3 bloobs out of 5.
Ooh.
You know, that's good. You know?
Ouch.
4 is excellent. 5 is fantastic.
I always thought 4 was kind of great and 5 is amazing. That's the way I would sort
of. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but great is better than good.
Well, thanks, John.
They don't call him Alexander the Good.
Yeah. True that. Gareth, I'm going to go next because I always go last, and you know, for a change,
pushing in.
I want to go second. You know, really mix.
What did you think, Gaz?
Look, obviously, John is right in a way that this is the worst episode of the season. Now, that isn't a bad thing. Now, when the show has set such a high standard, that it has to take. It's inevitable there is going to be an episode which is more of a setup episode, which is exactly what this is. However, there are still fantastic things in there. The relationship of Joel and Ellie is finally starting to build properly, and it's organic, and it's in those quieter moments at the start of the episode and towards the end of the episode, with the terrible puns and stuff like that, that it does grow organically. And we're finally seeing a different, softer side to Joel. But worryingly, at the same time, we see them bonding over violence and killing people. which doesn't bode well for the future.
Yeah, high five.
yay, we just killed Brian. Let's bond. But unfortunately, that is kind of the nature of their relationship. Their relationship is built upon violence. And that is going to prove troublesome down the line. Now, you know, John mentioned Melanie Lynskey in this, who plays Kathleen, a new invented character for the show. Perry, who is also like her lieutenant, new character for the show. And this whole group now has a more meaning and purpose than it does in the game. In the game, they're kind of just mindless thugs you call the hunters. But here, they're giving you a different context to this group. And I personally think that's a good thing. Now, John, obviously, you don't. But I think we've talked about it. The real horror of this world is the people. And
I think it's the weird fungus monsters, to be honest. But
yeah, you forget about those weird... Well, they're in this episode, Gareth. They're just, you just don't see them. But they're lurking in the shadows, don't you worry. But you have to put a face to the people that Joel and Ellie are murdering. Because if you do not, it just becomes senseless violence with no attachment to anything.
Yeah, so, sorry, just to interrupt, Len. I don't have a problem with... I don't like faceless men. That's not a reference to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah, little reference, yeah.
Last week's episode, I said that was a criticism of mine that when we had these raiders... I was like, it would have been better to see them, you know, like for some of them to be, you know, even like young adults kids. Or kids, because then there's a conflict between, you know, them burning alive as these two fellas knock about inside their little compound. But it's just when it went to them, I just didn't think that they were. Well, they weren't interesting to me at all. Like I genuinely was very bored in all of the interactions with them.
I think you would have been more bored with the game version of them than this version. So they had to do something, right?
Oh, at least I'm pressing buttons and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you love pressing those buttons. You fucking gave up on the game, mate. Don't you tell me about pressing buttons.
Yeah.
Jesus. Mm. But what I will say is, I said this to Gaz in the hot take, it's because they've decided to split this chapter of the story into two episodes. And that has meant that you're not getting the payoffs or any sort of further character development on this group until next week. And next week, I think, in retrospect, it will improve this episode. Mm. But I'm going to say that I've been getting a lot of stick from people. Mainly you, Josh.
Oh, you're going to bow to the pressure.
But also listeners.
You're going to bow to the pressure.
Listeners. No, there's no pressure involved here, Gareth.
I'm going to give this no back five.
I've been getting pressured into saying I'm giving everything five blooms.
Yeah, you're
going
to bow.
Now, this is a four bloom episode. And that is okay. Pathetic. That's great, as I have said. Yeah? So just take that in. And now everyone leave me alone. There's a four bloom out there because obviously next week's going to be a five. All right? We all know it. So... four blooms from me. Gareth,
I've done what you wanted me to. Oh, love me. Pathetic, yeah?
Pathetic.
I agree, though. It is a four blueberry episode.
Unbelievable.
And I think I foreshadowed that in our hot take. Probably for the same reasons as John. I quite liked the slower bits of this episode in terms of the building of Joel and Ellie's or the further development of their relationship. Their little road trip stuff at the start was great.
Yeah, I love that.
From a visual perspective as well as the story and the atmosphere. And I also liked when it ramped up. That was a really nice kind of sudden turn to violence that you could see coming. Like you knew that the tension was building as they entered Kansas City. You knew it was about to happen. But yeah, I share similar concerns to John about the maybe the two-dimensional nature of of these characters. And
not Joel and Ellie, you mean the hunters?
Not Joel and Ellie, absolutely not.
Listeners. Yeah, obviously not. Yeah, you just mean the revolutionaries, we'll call them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they tried to avoid that. They tried to give what is Linsky's character's name?
Kathleen.
That's right. Sorry, thanks, Kathleen. They tried to sort of hint at her backstory, and you know, she's not all bad. She's coming from, you know, a place of human motivations, but it just didn't quite work at the level that everything else has worked in this series for me.
No, I do agree with both of you. I do think, but I hope that next week they, it pays off.
I think it will.
You know
I think
I mean?
It, and I'm sure it will, but we've got to look at this episode in isolation, and it's not a 5 bloob.
Yep.
It's also not a 3 bloob in my opinion, but still a
madness.
Great episode of TV. So yeah, 4 bloobs from me.
Here's
lovely stuff.
Here's a question for you gents. So
go on.
And it's I mean, I can't believe you called it a great episode of TV, but that's fine. It's all opinions, isn't it?
I think it's all going to be a great episode of TV.
No. Don't do a Len.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to look at it in isolation. I can't believe you've called that a great episode of TV, but that's fine.
I'll do it again. It's a great episode of TV.
Do we find it a bit weird? And is it harmful certainly to this episode, that we've gone from episode 3 that's 75 minutes long in its runtime?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this one is 45 minutes long.
Yes.
It's really weird.
I do think that's a problem. And I think that's the thing that's hurt it. As I said, if this was an hour and 15 again and was two episodes merged into one, I would think that the group that we're talking about would have been more fleshed out, more realised, and it would have been more contained in this chapter. However, there's clearly going to be a big episode next week, so maybe they couldn't do it all in one and they've had to split it up because the runtime next week, I haven't looked at it, no. I bet you have you, John?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously the first 4 we know because they've aired, but the rumours prior to the season were spot on. So episode 5 and 6 are both listed at 59 minutes.
Okay.
Episode 7, 56. Episode 8, 51. Episode 9, 43 minutes.
40 what?
Yeah, no. Rumoured to be the shortest episode of the season.
Wow, that's mind-boggling. Wow, I can't wait to see if that comes true.
What I will say is, just on that, that probably tells you a bit of the story with why they did this, because if they've got an hour and 45 minutes worth of footage, worth of episode, then that is a little bit tricky. You can't make that one episode.
That is tricky, That is tricky.
And
to get that down you'd really be losing some character development. So, keep an eye on it, listeners. Keep an eye on it. We'll look at those runtimes next week and throughout the season. That episode 9 one, wow, I'll be amazed if that's true. But who fucking knows, you know? And I don't really care as long as what I'm seeing is delivering. And so far, this show is delivering on pretty much every level. Now, we're going to have a quick little ad in a second. But before we do, I want to say thank you for all the fantastic support.
No worries.
Loads of people have been in touch. Not you two, you fuck off. Loads of people have been loads of people have been in touch. They've left us reviews, and you could do the same. Please do leave us a review on iTunes. There's some bloody lovely reviews coming in, lads.
Are there?
Bloody lovely.
Look at this one from Leonard.
A. Leonard says it's absolutely fantastic. Great podcast, really great. But I want to say thanks for that. Please do review, please do share the podcast, subscribe, whatever platform. And of course, if you want to feature in the feedback section, you can write in fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. We've got a good feedback section this week, so if you want to feature in that, please do write in. We really appreciate it. And do you know what we appreciate even more, boys?
What?
Precious monies. Money. And precious Patreons. And we got some more of them, baby. They're flooding in now, aren't you, lovely, lovely people? First of all, Katie Trutchen, thanks very much for joining Patreon.
You said that right.
Thank you for your support. Yep, definitely said it right. Katie Trutchen. So
KT. Yeah, yeah.
thank you, KT. That's just good. We'll just say KT from now on. That's her nickname from now on. So
nickname, great one.
Thank you for joining the Patreon. We really do appreciate your support. And also to Rito Berner, thank you very much for joining the Patreon and pledging your support to what is a fantastic podcast, if we do say so ourselves. You can say thank you to them, lads. Give them a little thank you. Go on.
Yeah, thank you very
KT
much.
And Rito.
Yeah, and Rito was the second name.
Yeah, that's right, Rito. Yeah,
it's quite a cool name.
Pretty cool, actually. Mm. I'll write that one down. Yeah.
Not having a go at Katie for. I'm just saying, like, you know, if someone's like, "Well, Albert's left us a review," I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." And then if someone's like Rito, I'm like, oh, "That's cool." Sounds like someone's come from the future or something. To
did you
leave
say?
Us a review.
Did you say burner?
yeah, I wasn't Rito even going to go into that. Yeah.
Unreal. Yeah, great stuff, Rito.
Well, thank you to Katie, whose name is also fantastic, and Rito, whose name is obviously fantastic. Well,
obviously, Rito's the better
and
name.
If you want to join the Patreon, if you want to join the Patreon and donate some precious money to this podcast, it's really appreciated. It goes towards operational costs, podcasting costs. You know, there's costs involved, guys, and you know, this isn't our day job. So, thank you very much. That's patreon.com/fancritical, and please do join the community. Now, quick ad break after the music, and then we'll jump into the plot of episode 4 of The Last of Us.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, boys, we open this episode with Ellie staring at a mirror and pretending to shoot someone, taxi driver style. She even gives the gun a little sniff.
Bit weird.
She then heads out to Joel, who is siphoning gas from cars, and to pass the time, she decides to reveal her book of puns.
Yep.
All right, let's stop it there.
Here we go. Buckle in.
First things first.
Road trip.
Hold your horses, Gareth, that's coming. First things first, I thought it was very interesting to see how adept Ellie is at using a gun. Now, I've shot guns with you boys before, and I can safely say that she's
all legal.
More adept than you two. Yeah, all legal. Way more adept than you two.
That's not true.
Poor little Gareth, it was like Men in Black with the cricket. He went flying backwards. It's unbelievable, poor little bastard.
I mean, I'm the only one who hit it both times, so.
Pretty sure I hit him. I obliterated him.
You, on your second
Gaz
go.
Skimmed it. Yeah. I think Gaz's bullet like ricocheted off a stone.
Oh, did it?
And then hit the
it's
target.
Convenient.
We won't talk about John's shooting.
Oh, I had a stinker. That's fine.
Admits it.
Yeah, but anyway, she seems infatuated with guns and violence.
Why have you decided to pick on me with the guns thing when we have a clear loser in the gun faction?
Well, don't call me loser.
It just makes no sense.
Don't call him a loser. That's how
you'll
be dead
soon anyway, so who cares? Not because of gun violence, by the way.
What do you think about Ellie's infatuation with guns and violence? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean,
stage?
She's a...
it's just cool.
What sort of a comment is that? That's cool. Yeah, cheers, mate. Well, evidently it's a social commentary of the fact that she's a child that's grown up in the apocalypse.
Yep.
But also, it's cool, man, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, it's cool. It's simple. Wicked
she
sick.
She's a 14-year-old girl who thinks it's cool to hold a gun. That, you know, yes,
say what you
she's
see.
Grown up being desensitized to it, but... in a way, maybe it's a social commentary on the world that we currently live in. It doesn't even have to be a post-apocalyptic one for people to have interesting
views. Maybe we are.
Views
maybe
on
this
guns.
Is a post-apocalyptic world that we live in. We just don't know yet.
Yeah, well, sometimes it feels like it, John. It really does. now, the pun book makes an appearance. Yes, I have discussed the pun book, the Book of Jokes, in a Clicker Corner section earlier this season. And of course, we're going to have more delicious punnery in Clicker Corner and, you know, knowledge of the games and the references and all that jazz. So do stick around. But what did you make of it, John? We thought you'd really enjoy the puns because you love them.
Yeah.
Bloody love them, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? It was all right. You know, it grew on me a little bit more. I sort of felt a little bit sorry for Joel. He's kind of just trying to get on with it. She's like, all right, well, look, you know, just get this book out and that, do some puns. And he's like, honestly, we've just come from a house where there's two dead people in bed, and Tess died like 2 days ago. Just leave it out, please. Can I just have 5 minutes on my own, honestly? Yes, it's a good pun, but just read the book out in a week or so.
I was waiting
for the pun, John. That whole sentence. No, I was like, "He's one's coming. Yeah. It's coming."
No,
you got one, or no. You got anything for us? Or Jesus, the listeners are devastated. Like we built you up as
Patreon
the pun boy.
Only,
and
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Well, I used to make terrible apocalypse puns.
Go on.
But I'm getting better at it.
Yeah.
Annoying, I'll tell you what's
though,
disappointing about that.
You've gone and read that beforehand, which...
Yeah,
no,
he's
well,
written
definitely.
It down beforehand, and that's how bad it is.
Came up with it live.
Absolutely not.
Just as we were talking, so...
Terrible. Yes, I mean, good. It's not terrible.
Gareth, you got one, or is
the
that...
joke's fine.
Should we move
but,
on?
Something about books and
I don't know if it works that way, does it?
Yeah.
What about paper? Is there a joke in there? Nah.
Somewhere.
Nah. All right. Turn. All let's right. We'll start a new chapter in this podcast.
Okay. We will do. We'll revisit that. Don't you worry.
We'll come back to it.
John will come up with a pun by the end of this episode. So we'll get there.
Armageddon.
Kind of stealing my one.
That, John?
I just did. So
that's really good, actually.
So what if John doesn't know what apocalypse means? It's not the end of the world, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You like that one? Anyway, we're moving on. We're moving on. This is too much. Mm. We then have
Zombie.
A lovely set of scenes in the... Shut up. We then have a lovely set of scenes in the car.
Was there any point that Joel was like, all right, listen, Ellie, you're going to have to get out of the car because there's not mushroom back there because the fungus...
There you go,
fucking hell. This is a shambles. Absolute shambles.
People turning off in their droves.
Well, John's just bottled it, which he does in pressure situations. I've noticed this true. About him.
I'm just not a performing monkey, so I'm not just gonna have someone point at me and go puns now. I'm like, okay, I'm not even paid for this.
Put your cymbals away. We then have a lovely set of scenes in a car. Passing remnants of the world as it fell apart. We see cars pushed on out of the road by tanks, trains hanging off bridges in the distance, and bison thriving again, all set against Hank Williams, Alone and Forsaken, which is playing now.
We We met in the springtime when blossoms unfold. The pastures were green and the meadows were gold. Our love was in flower as summer grew on. Her love, like the leaves, now have withered and gone. Alone and forsaken by fate and by man, oh Lord, if you hear me, please hold my hand. Oh, please understand.
I love the fact that this song is in the show. It's in the game. Around a similar point, you know, obviously the game has a much more truncated story, so the song actually, and we'll come into it in Clicker Corner, is playing during another section as well. But I thought it was very effective. Great road trip song. I've written here, isn't it, Gareth?
Yeah, it is. It's what,
like that time we had Creedence driving across Spain. Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
It is that. I think that is exactly what you would want. Actually, maybe Creedence would be up there as well. Driving across abandoned America. That's a soundtrack for it.
Perfect.
Yeah. Literally a song that's just driving across abandoned America. Oh yeah, it's good. This actually makes sense what we're doing.
Oh, that's what those lyrics mean.
Have you ever like driven through like very dodgy neighborhoods where you like just turn the radio down, to be honest, because you know you don't want to?
Yeah.
They're in every time I go an apocalypse. Them. So this, I don't know. It feels too much like it's fun. I'd be like, can we turn the radio off and be as quiet as possible, as opposed to
no fun.
Yeah,
no fun allowed.
John, careful, no fun, McCann. No fun, no pun.
Woken, yeah, no fun, no pun. Mm. That's his new name.
No fun, no pun.
I thought this is quite cool that nature and the world hasn't stopped. It's thriving without humanity. You know, bison are back, for fuck's sake.
Why are you making such a big deal of that?
Because they're almost extinct, bro.
Keeps bringing it up.
They're almost dead.
Bison are back, yeah.
Poor little bastards.
Yeah, go on, turn this up, actually. This also makes sense with our current predicament.
Hey, I'm an animal lover, yeah? Bison
animal
are almost dead.
Animal lover. Here, there. what an album this is.
No? Well, fuck you both. You don't care about the bison, so I don't know what to say. You're disgusting human beings, but I liked it.
I'm so glad the nature's come back and covered this roller coaster.
Oh, it's a coincidence.
Dear. Don't go into that city. Oh, no, let's turn left, actually.
Before that, they stop overnight in the woods where they enjoy 20-year-old ravioli. And when they start setting in for the night, Ellie treats Joel to another pun whilst he promises her they'll be safe. But he still stands guard.
Much like a scarecrow.
John, would you eat 20-year-old ravioli or would you?
I'd probably have a sandwich instead? In a bit.
Well, remember, John, you can't have yeast because of the.
They've just come back.
The flour problem.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
the flour problem. You can't be eating sandwiches, mate.
Yeah, how long would you last before you like halfway through eating a sandwich? You're like, oh, thing, isn't it?
Should have had the ravioli.
Should have had that ravioli. That was more. Look.
Here's the thing, though, guys. Question. Doesn't ravioli have flour in it?
Yeah, but none of this matters anymore. Ellie had a sandwich last week.
She's immune, you fuckhead.
No, I think like they're not just making bread. They're not making bread for Ellie alone.
Yeah, they are.
No, absolute nonsense.
I don't know. I just think it's funny, the flour thing. It's 20 years old, so it might be from around then, is what I'm saying. Made with who knows. made with who knows. I thought this was quite nice. Joel answering the pun here about the scarecrow. Yep. Outstanding in his field. Gets a promotion and that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great joke.
That was a nice little moment, wasn't it?
Mm.
Nice little moment between them.
Yeah. Yeah, he fucked her punchline, didn't he?
He did. But at least he's, you know, his tough exterior is slowly being melted melted away.
Revealed for the straw man that he really is.
They continue their journey the next day to Kansas City. Ellie finally seems to be breaking down Joel's exterior as she gets info about Tommy from him. He then realises he's letting her in too much and calls her Cargo.
Yeah, stop asking me about my life, you stupid cargo head. Oh, why are you saying that?
Oh, dear.
I thought it was a bit mean, to be honest.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It's a bit mean, that, actually.
It was. A bit out of order.
Don't call her cargo head.
Not very nice.
Yeah, you've had too much coffee, you.
Do you think Joel's a bit of a...
tosser.
He is a bit of a tosser sometimes, but the way he kind of feels that he needs to like bail Tommy out of any sign of danger throughout his whole life, you kind of get that sense from him. You know what I mean? Like, he bailed him out of jail, obviously, in the first episode. You get the sense that he's done that lots of times.
I love that. I thought like you were going to list loads of examples. And it's like, because he bailed him out
of
jail.
I've got another one.
Other ones.
He protected him as they travelled to Boston. And he says it was him that did it for Tommy, to protect him to get to Boston. And now he's gone missing or hasn't heard from him in a while. And he has to go save him again. Mm. Like, oh, I better go save him again. Like, it's a chore, but it's something that it's the only purpose in his life.
He's,
do you know what I mean?
He's hardwired to do it. He's protective.
Yeah.
You'd do it for your brother?
Yeah. Yeah.
He definitely
big time.
Wouldn't.
Big time. Of course it would, yeah.
Big time.
He would be so much better suited to the apocalypse than me. It's insane. He is a man who...
Yeah, he's a prepper.
Invests... He's a prepper of sorts. He's not really a prepper,
but he essentially is.
Let's just say he's well supplied. He's like Bill. Not like that, but he's like Bill, but in a, you know...
No, like that, yeah.
With less supplies. He's got less supplies than Bill. But yes, yeah. He would be way more... He'd be rescuing me, for fuck's
Correct.
Sake.
Mm. You'd be a shambles. We'd all be a shambles.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Oh, John would have given up. Gareth, obviously ravaged by illness in this perfect, well, it's not the perfect world, because, you know, pandemic and that. Yeah. But the best situation he could be in an apocalypse, he's fucked. So, and I'm obviously the most capable out of the three of us, but I still don't think I would fare that
well.
What's
that based on?
So, what do you mean, what's that based? Look at the state of your body.
You'd have
Look
6 hours of our online gaming and take your own life.
Oh, that's so ambitious. 6 hours.
Yeah. Well, why is he taking his own life? It's just a power cut. No, but simple-minded, feeble-minded Len.
Never. Anyway, they get to an impasse and Joel decides they can make it through the city. However, as they make their way through the city, someone is injured and asking for help. Joel instructs Ellie to put her seatbelt on and then proceeds to run the guy over as the others start shooting at the car and they crash into a storefront. Joel successfully shoots two of them dead before a third pins him down and is choking him to death.
The worst one.
Ellie then steps in and shoots the hunter in the back, saving Joel's life. Mm.
This is, imagine this. Imagine if Joel, the Joel that we know, was killed by this Brian guy.
I know. I always think that. Like, I always think that when I play through the game as well. I was like, these fuckers can't kill Joel. Well, I mean, obviously they can, but like, that's the world they live in. But yeah, it would be such a shame. That would be a real Game of Thrones twist, wouldn't it? imagine that.
You can understand why they've got this guy, because they want him to that begging for his life. You know, he suddenly becomes very like childlike. And, yeah. Mm. So, and that's good. But the idea that he overpowered Joel in a pretty fair 50-50, no way, man. Yeah. He should have just got the drop on him. He should have just hit him over the back of the head, like coming through the back. Like that.
Yeah.
That probably would have made more sense. But
yeah, I do. I mean, Joel has got kind of freakish, brutish strength. He is 56 years old, as we see later in the episode, and obviously his cardio system isn't as good as it used to be. But, like, I think it's interesting. I think the Joel in the game is a bit more athletic than Pedro is. And I'm not saying that Joel in the game is athletic. I'm saying that he just feels a bit more He seems a little bit younger, even though he's not. I think Pedro's playing it a lot more like the age is affecting him now. You know what I mean?
Well,
which might play into it.
Do you think that, aside from him going up the stairs in this episode, I don't think it's being referenced.
But the way he walks, the way he sort of like shambles around. He's got his little Zimmer frame. Yeah, yeah, no, I'm joking. But seriously, he's old, yeah.
His little pensioner card that he uses for parking.
And that bit where he called Ellie Cargo and then his teeth like came out a little bit.
I thought it was a great scene. Ripped straight from the game. And we'll talk about it in Clicker Corner, of course. Any differences. But they stripped it back a little bit. So there's only like three assailants. So it's a bit more believable that they could get out of that situation. Joel using his street smarts, his iconic rifle. And then, you know, Ellie stepping in and essentially killing, or what, you know, what Joel believes at this point is her first person, which is quite a huge turning point for the character. What do you reckon to that, Ellie stepping in?
Like I said in the hot take, she had to. What choice did she have?
There is no choice. Sometimes violence is the only answer, Gareth.
Yeah, I don't think it's a comment on her character or anything. It's just, it's a thing that, you know, could change her. But as we establish later, and we'll come to it, I'm sure, maybe it won't change her as much as we initially think, or as much as Joel thinks it will.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah. I mean, this is a huge turning point for this character. I mean, it's an inevitable turning point, unfortunately, in the world that she lives in and the nature of her condition. But yeah, you'll see a change in her character for sure.
Yeah, look, I thought it was a nice touch for Bella Ramsey to, you know, to tear up, that just the single tear. It was kind of,
yeah.
So, It wasn't overbearing for the audience to see her like proper breakdown and go, oh my God, I've killed this guy. And it wasn't the other way where she's like, yeah, I've killed him. That was good, wasn't it? Like,
high five.
To be honest. Yeah.
High-fiving.
No. Yeah. So she did.
She's clearly conflicted. She is clearly conflicted. But yeah, not as much as, say, a normal person would be. You know what I mean? So it's interesting. There's a lot of depth to it. We're then introduced to the group that Joel just killed members of. They are a type of revolutionary group who are called Hunters in the game, or the Hunters, who seem to have overthrown Fedra in Kansas City. We see Kathleen interrogate their doctor. She asks about a character called Henry and his whereabouts. She then is interrupted and she sees the dead people of her group that Joel and Ellie have just killed. She is so enraged, she marches back in and shoots the doctor in the head. Now, this is the thing that I don't understand about this character. That is a mental move, right? You do not kill a fucking doctor, regardless of what they've done in the apocalypse. They are probably the most valuable resource.
I mean, she even mentions it.
That is out
there. She even says, like, what if I had a doctor? And like, all right, fine.
He's already dead. Look at the state of Brian. What a stupid... That annoyed me. That was a stupid fucking question. She was like, would a doctor save him? Look at him, mate. He's already fucking dead.
Don't say that to her, though.
But I think, like, obviously she understands that these might not be the only people who are injured or dead in the future, and that a doctor might have some value at some point. But yeah,
look, that one guy that might have been saved by a doctor, he's dead, so we're never going to need a doctor again. So let's go and kill him.
It's fucking mad that she has done this, to be honest with you. Now, we've talked about Melanie Lynskey. Obviously, John didn't really like her performance. I think there's something interesting in her performance, a kind of villainous streak behind what John described as her sort of nice, did you just say wobbly lip? I think that's a very good description of the sort of acting that she usually does. But I actually thought her performance was fine. I just think we didn't see enough
rave
of her
reviews,
and it felt a little bit felt a little bit snatched that on a poster. In the episode, you know?
Come see Melanie Lynskey in this show. Her performance is fine.
Tell me, where is Henry? Where is he? I'll shoot you in the face.
Honest, I'm telling you. You know, well, you've seen me in other things, but in this one, I'm mental. Why saying that? Just read one, it off the script. Business. Look, I don't want to have a go at her, you know, as a person. I'm sure, she's a lovely person. It's just everything I see her in, she feels very one note. And again, I'm going to upset even more people here. It's like Ryan Gosling. The guy, just one, he can do one thing and that's it, honestly.
Are you mad?
No, you're mad. He's one note and she's one note.
Excuse me. Are you telling me the Ryan Gosling in La La Land is the same as Blade Runner 2049?
Yes.
He is quite similar.
Deluded, Sunshine.
That's a terrible example because he is the same. Like,
one of them plays the fucking, is obsessed with jazz. He's a fucking and amazing La La jazz Land. Pianist who has low. Yeah. What? And then there's La La Land.
Mm.
Yeah. Fucking hell. I can't even get into this. Anyway.
No, yeah, I would really say this, though. I would say, John, you might be right, but a lot of actors have had incredibly successful careers by playing the same character in different situations.
No, I agree.
She does it. I think she does it well. I kind of agree with Len here that maybe the issue is less about her and more the... Maybe the writing, maybe it just, which, you know, has been faultless to this point, but just not enough characterization built in there, in my opinion.
I saw someone say that it would have been interesting if they'd have swapped the actresses for Tess and Kathleen, or whatever her name is.
No way. Anna Torv?
Yeah.
No.
If they had her playing Tess. That sort of ruthless leader.
Well, if you had two Anna Torvs, then yeah, that would be great.
That would be extremely confusing to me, though. I'd be like, is she not dead?
Tess is back.
She's back. She's back.
Yeah, very Days of Our Lives. Oh, no, because she must have had amnesia and then she became this new character.
Yeah. She's immune too.
And from explosions.
Joel confronts Ellie about basically killing her first person. She says that that isn't the first person she's killed, sort of. Joel then has his proper first father-daughter moment with her, giving her a pistol and teaching her how to hold it and shoot. Ellie giggles with excitement.
I can't wait to do that with my daughter.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Mm.
Absolute classic. But it is weird, isn't it? They're bonding. Their first real proper, like, Joel actually teaching her something and like letting her have this weapon is such a sign of trust from him, but it's also such a fucked up way for them to be bonding. You know what I mean? It's bizarre. You know what I mean?
I think it's an acceptance of the scenario that they're in, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's,
of course, you know, of course,
they were growing up in the normal world, it'd be teaching her, you know, how to drive, her obsession with that car. It'd be like,
exactly.
Yeah. So all right, we'll get your license. But, you know, instead of that, let's just teach you how to kill more effectively.
Hold this gun. Yeah. But he trusts her now a bit more, which is important. Obviously, he feels a little bit guilty that he was jumped and that she saved his life.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a big deal. And he's coming to terms with that. She's coming to terms with killing someone. He's coming to terms with the fact that she's had to do this thing, and then that she's saying it's not necessarily the first person she's killed, which is an interesting point that I'm sure will be revealed in future episodes. And we know that's sort of coming. But I just thought it was a beautiful scene, but a kind of worrying scene as well, you know?
Mm.
Just foreboding. We then see John's favourite character, Kathleen, and her Lieutenant Perry discovering one of Henry and Sam's old hideouts. Perry then proceeds to show Kathleen something rumbling and breaking under the city. He says not to tell anyone. She says not to tell anyone.
I'm sure we'll never see that.
What could it be? I don't think we're ever going to see it again, to be honest.
I think it'll be like Ghostbusters, where it's like pink ooze.
That'd be good. Hmm.
Yeah, that would be good. And then there's going to be a giant Statue of Liberty. Have they got a Statue of Liberty in Kansas City? No, of course they don't. But I'm sure they've got some sort of monument that we could, you know, reanimate with purple ooze.
Yeah, probably. Yes.
Now, I thought, obviously, I don't want to say much about this because it's a spoiler, but I think we're all in agreement where this is going. And I think next week's episode is going to have a lot of action. So that's all I'll say about it. You know, moving on. Joel and Ellie proceed to hide on floor 39 of an apartment building. Joel is knackered after climbing that many stairs. As they settle in for the night, Ellie once again delivers a classic pun, to which Joel audibly pisses himself out.
Oh,
yeah,
that's so, a pun in itself, because it's about shitting yourself, isn't it?
It is about shitting yourself.
Should be noted, they're only on floor 39 because Joel couldn't make it any further.
Yeah.
He's supposed to get to 54 or something.
Yeah.
Weren't
they? Yeah. They were 45, I think it was. Or maybe they got to 33. I can't remember. They got in the 30s. That's all that matters. Still in the 30s, yeah? So.
More honest.
Yeah. But I really love this little moment between them. Like, they're both laughing, and Pedro's now giving you more of that range, John, that you've been wanting to see.
A little bit more range. Look, he's opening up his acting abilities as the story goes along. So good on him, you know. He can act. Some people slagging him off saying he can't act without, you know, a mask and stuff. Fuck you. Yeah?
Yeah. Unbelievable. It's a lovely moment. And it's great to see them finally, you know, we're halfway through the season almost now, but the relationship is definitely there. It's getting stronger throughout this episode. And as we think the episode's finishing, we see Ellie awaken Joel with two figures standing over them and holding them at gunpoint, one being a young kid with a gun squarely pointed at Joel's head.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
That's a weird name.
No, it's Henry and bloody
but
Sam.
But it's interesting that Henry's obviously got Sam. So Henry being the dad has got Sam, the kid, to point the gun at Joel. Like, he's like, you take that one. I'll point at the little girl.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you know, that's like in football or soccer when you've got a mismatch at a corner. Football. You don't put you, Gareth, the shortest man in the world, against the 6'4" defender.
Mm. No.
Do you know what I mean?
But you do have me lurking on the edge of the penalty area because that's where I...
yeah, that's fine. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about an example that I've just made.
If we're talking football tactics, then yes, I'll let you know.
All right. You'll be on the bench at this rate, mate.
You don't put your star player on the bench.
Oh, is he out injured again, is he? What's wrong with him this time?
Yeah, still top goal scorer, player of the season, whatever. What are you saying, Len?
So Sam and Henry, obviously iconic characters from the game. And I'm fascinated to see, because they've obviously given Henry and Sam here a bit more of a story as to, you know, to tie in with this new group. I have no idea what Henry did to annoy Kathleen so much, but I hope it pays off, is all I'm going to say. Because what the fuck could he have done?
Ratted people out.
Where's that book of puns gone? Henry!
Don't worry, John, you've... Sam! Yeah. Gave it to my kid brother. Gave him the pun book, didn't I? Imagine that, he cracks out. Imagine that if Sam cracks out volume one of the pun book.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
And they'll bond over that, won't they? Well, that's it for the episode. A short episode. An episode that is clearly setting up a very action-packed episode 5. As we said, not the best episode of the season. However, still a great episode of television. And 4 bloobs from myself, Gareth, and a 3 bloob from John, which is always to be expected with John. He's a bit of a wild card, so just don't write in and have a go at him. All right, he gave last week a 5. Yeah, he's going to do this. He goes up, he goes down. He's all over the place.
Did you hear that? What did Len just call it?
Great, great episode.
No, but he calls everything great.
And now
you know what he's like.
We're going to move on to a great segment called Click a Corner.
Great.
All right, let's crack this clicker corner off with the puns.
Crack this clicker corner off with the puns. Bizarre.
Yeah.
Crack off. Okay.
Have you got a pun for me yet? Have you got a pun for me yet?
No.
Okay. This is No Pun Intended Volume 2. 2 with obviously T-O-O. It's given to Ellie by a character called Riley in the Left Behind DLC. And we know from the trailers that this content will be in the show, probably, obviously, as a flashback. The puns used are the exact ones out of the game, which I thought was a nice touch. Hopefully we get more as the season progresses. But I've also put, hopefully they don't overdo it. Because I think there's a line here and they need to sort of just, you know, leave it for a bit now. Maybe come back to it in like 3 episodes. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
John, you'll like this next one. Porn.
There you go. Look at him smiling. Yes. He's happy now.
Yeah, he's literally. Yeah, you should see his smile.
4 blueberries, actually. It is a great episode of TV.
The scene with Ellie and the erotic male mag is literally almost word for word from the game. Mm-hmm. This was further evidence in the game that Bill was in fact gay. In the game, it is hinted at heavily, but never seen like last
week. Yeah, I don't know if we needed confirmation in the show that Bill was gay.
No, we don't. I think it's a nice, funny moment. But what I will say is, just quickly, how outrageous has the review bombing and hate speech been after last week's episode?
Dreadful. But it's failed. It's fucking failed, hasn't it?
Like, unbelievable.
You say review bombing, but actually, well, the good,
they've tried to review.
The good people have come out
still
on top.
Got very good score.
The scores on IMDb, I mean, about 35% of all of the reviews have given it 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
So it's dragged it down. So whatever happens for the rest of the season, that will be ranked as the worst episode of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is a shame because it's a fucking incredible episode. Fuck all those people, to be honest with you, scumbags. moving on, coffee. Joel constantly remarks in the game how he misses coffee. And Ellie says it smells like burnt shit, which he does in the show as well. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I need coffee every day. Probably 2 of them.
Two now, coffee?
If you're telling me there's a... What?
Is that what you just said?
I need coffee.
Yeah, that's just weird.
I need coffee, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I need caffeine. I need it sustains me.
Know,
how do you think
I
get
but
through
just
these podcasts,
the turn
John?
Of phrase was just
beer
bizarre.
Beer and coffee.
I need 2 of them. Yeah.
Well, imagine 20 years you've had no coffee. Absolutely brutal. Mm. Honestly, I can't even. I'd just give up. Anyway, Pittsburgh is the next one. And the confrontation with the hunters, or this revolutionary group, happens in Pittsburgh in the game and not Kansas City, which it is in the show. They changed it in the show as their main filming location was easier to make look like Kansas than Pittsburgh.
Lazy.
We're not in Pittsburgh anymore, Gareth.
Oh, that's good, that. Yeah, well done.
Like that?
Yeah, that's good, that. Very good.
Yeah?
Mm. And, yeah, we're not in Kansas either because...
No, that's true. We're not.
Missouri.
We're not. The ambush scene, exactly the same as the game, although less assailants, so it's more believable. And as it's happening, the Alone and Forsaken track is sort of jammed like on repeat in the car because they've crashed the car. And it's like playing as you're gunning down these hunters approaching you in the bar. I thought that's a pretty cool effect. And a bit of a shame that they didn't do it here in the show, to be honest.
Yeah.
It honestly is really effective,
but
as a moment in the game.
Would have been weird if they had started playing that song like 3 hours earlier in their road trip and it's still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I was thinking that when they crashed the car, it jolted the tape player. Do you know what I mean? And then it was just
convenient,
stuck.
Though, isn't it? I think it would be a bit distracting as well.
Yeah. Anyway, or they could have just started the track later and had it in this scene. Anyway.
Now, or they could have gone into the city and gone, right, can we play that song that we were listening to earlier again?
Can we play it again, please? Yeah. Quite liked it, actually.
Just play that bit. Play that bit over and over, actually.
they drive past some burnt corpses, which is obviously a sign that stuff's awry here.
What an understatement that is.
Yeah, it's quite disgusting. And it's the same in the game. You literally get out of the scene and you see this pile of charred bodies and you're like, oh, fucking hell. Mm-hmm. Who are these people? Call outs from the enemies. We hear them say things like, hey, motherfucker. That was my accent, so don't judge it. Mm. And, oh, shit, they got Brian. Which is literally pretty much what happens in the game. Ever since Last of Us Part 2 came out, they generated better AI, and the AI all had individual names. So when you were to kill someone, if their friend, in little commas, AI friend, saw the body, they would say, oh, fuck, they got Gwendolyn. She's, you know, she's gone. And then that gave a bit more character to the enemies that you were killing. I thought it was good here that they still kept some of those call-outs.
Gandalf, quick, they got Gwendolyn.
Oh, fuck, they've killed Barry. Barry is dead.
They've implemented that AI with the name call-outs into the latest Last of Us remake. So if you are going to play The Last of Us Part 1, play the remake version on PS5 and you will get those same sorts of call-outs. I thought that was an interesting touch and a good one, to be honest with you.
If you put in The Cast of Us as a promo code, you get 50% off the game, don't you?
Imagine that.
Imagine the complaints and people have gone, oh, fucks, I've paid full price for this. What's going on here?
Half price. It's still 70 quid, yeah. 100 bucks.
It was a joke.
The run truck. In the game, this harasses you as you go through the city, firing you a minigun at you. So, Perry, the lieutenant of Kathleen, is actually played by the actor who played Joel's brother, Tommy, in the game. Speaking of which, Tommy is in Jackson in the game, which is about 5 miles away from Cody, the place they reference in the show. Now, the floor crumbling, and this is spoiler heavy, so, you know, it is what it is. Click a corner, you know it's spoilers.
Block
guys.
Your ears, John. Whatever.
We hear the noise of a bloater. These are the longest of the infected and are fucking tanks, basically. And I'm sure we're going to see it next week. Oh, we originally see the bloater for the first time in Billstown section of the game at the high school. So not too much earlier, but understandably moved from the very touching episode last week. Imagine that. They just have a bloater in that episode for some reason. Like, it just would have been bizarre. So it's just quite a smart decision to
it's
move
a big
it.
Gluten monster. Just ties in with all of like the flour and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it could be, right?
Yeah. Just eating sandwiches.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Just to get more, you know, floury.
Gluttonous.
It's like the Stay Puffed, man.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Rip off.
And that's it. That's it for Clicker Corner this week. Pretty good one. Pretty chocker, to be honest with you. But of course, this is our favourite section of the episode. It's listener feedback. And we've got some good feedback this week, guys. You can write into us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts. The email is in the show notes. Just click it, write an email to us, let us know your thoughts, theories, or whatever you want on the podcast. You know, or you can interact with us on social channels.
Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever you fancy. Yeah. Here we go. Peter Hablum has been in touch and has had this to say. I've been listening to you guys since Castle Rock.
Oh, yeah.
It's very poignant, isn't it, lads, considering we just mentioned it in this podcast today? My God, that show just fell apart. Yes, it did. Big shame, because, you know, we actually... The first season was pretty good. Second season, yeah. Anyway, you're all brilliant, and I love listening to the team discuss and banter.
Thanks,
just
Peter.
A quick note that I haven't seen mentioned anywhere. In episode 1 of The Last of Us, there was the girl in the classroom twitching with the bracelet, an early sign of the cordyceps infection. Maybe it was obvious, but I like the detail. Yeah, I mean, we'll stop it there. We didn't talk about that.
No.
And that is a very good spot. And I do remember that moment and was a bit like, that's a bit weird. Because
nothing came
of
it.
At that point. Yeah, because nothing came of it. But it's just cool to know that there were these little signs of people getting infected from the flower, you know? Grandma did.
She might have had something else.
Yeah.
Like Gareth.
I didn't think...
good point.
Yeah. I did notice it at the time. But yeah, thanks, Peter. And it's annoying, isn't it, when you notice something and then you wait for somebody else to reference it and nobody ever does.
Gareth, please don't thank Peter just yet because he's got some more words.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
By the way... I'm going to call it. I think Len will five blue the whole first season. And please feed poor Gareth. I picture him as a stuck in the wall infected.
All right, I take it all back, Peter. I've got your messaging is all over the place, though. Apparently, I'm stealing all of your rations, and yet I need feeding.
It's, I told you, it's because your metabolism.
You're confusing.
Sort it out,
you're
mate.
Confusing the listeners.
Yeah, because you're more tapeworm than man.
Infected tapeworm man. Yeah. Anyway, thanks, Peter. Thanks for writing in. Next up is Josh. Hey, chaps. Loving your podcast reviews of The Last of Us. I have no one to watch it with, so you're my companions for the journey. Sad face. Well, in
well,
a way, I would
it.
Say, don't be sad about it. Be happy about it, yeah?
So, it is quite sad, though.
No, we're here for Josh. We're here for him.
No. That, I mean, that's a good
he just
thing.
Heard... Yeah. He just heard episode 2's review, and he has this to say. The real mycelial network on our world has been quite a popular topic of discussion for fungi fans for the past few years. They are vast and can even interconnect and communicate. Do some Googling and you'll find out lots about it. It's fascinating and incredible what's going on beneath our feet. There's a great documentary on fungi on Netflix called Fantastic Fungi. Well worth a watch. They start talking about the mycelial network around 10 minutes in. So although you say the network isn't mentioned in the game, I'm not particularly surprised they've included this major feature about fungi in the series. It would be wrong not to. I don't think it's just a convenient plot addition. It might have been that at the time when the video game was being created, it wasn't such a widely talked about phenomenon, and the game developers simply weren't aware of it at the time. Another connection, it's this network which was the inspiration for the infamous mycelial network which features heavily in Star Trek Discovery. And I'll stop you there, Josh. I love that show. And it's very good. If no one's watched Star Trek Discovery, check it out. One of the best Star Trek shows ever made.
I like the way he's jumped in there before I'm like, ugh, Star Trek, fucking hell.
Yeah, John hates it, but I like it. So no worries, Josh. Sorry if you guys knew this already, but just had to say, keep up the good work. All the best, Josh. Well, thanks for writing in, Josh. And that has enlightened us about why they might have created this communication network between the infected. John, are you more satisfied now, or do you still dislike the addition?
No, I mean, I don't like it, but that sounds like an interesting documentary. I might give that a watch.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, I might as well. That's, you know, it's very topical at the moment.
Yeah, it's growing on me.
Fungi.
He's finally come to the table.
Jesus Christ!
Now, can I say cheers? Good email, Josh. Or is there an extra bit at the end? P.S. Gaz looks like he's dead.
Josh has said nothing sinister about you, Gareth. Excellent. Not that Peter's sinister. Was sinister.
Well done, Josh. Well done. Excellent email. Ended it at a good point.
Yep. Mm. Yep. Oh, wait a minute. He's just written in again. One second. No. next up, we have Terry, who has commented something I thought you'd like, Gareth, on socials. Oh, yeah. And she says, coming to you from Kansas City. Yes, I live in Kansas City, Missouri.
As in Terry. But there is also Terry. Terry Pitnick.
Yeah, this Terry is Terry. Pitnick. You know, we all know Terry. Hmm. Yeah. There's also a KC, Kansas. The state line cuts through the metro area. Loving the pod as usual. I thought that was nice. We've actually got listeners in Kansas City.
Hmm. There you go.
I mean, there might be more, but I'm just saying this is glorious. Glorious tidbit.
I hope Kansas City is doing slightly better than Kansas City in the show.
Well, yeah. Me too. And I'm sure John does as well. I'm sure he thinks that. So,
No, I do, yeah. I'm assuming that Terry plays the podcast very loudly so that the neighbours can hear it. So, you know, more than one listener.
Hopefully.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and Terry, please do spread the word, like the mycelial network.
Yes.
Of Fan Critical throughout Kansas City.
Be our fungi.
Yes. Good one. Very nice. And that's it for feedback this week. We have gone way over time, and I'm sorry if you didn't get to email, but please do write in at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts on the show. Email is in the show notes. Just click it, whatever. Or talk to us on socials like Terry did. And that's it. you know, for the deep dive on episode 4, titled Please Hold to My Hand. Obviously, the lyrics from Alone and Forsaken. Next week, we've got an issue, boys. We've got an issue, and I want to be upfront with the listeners here. HBO, and if you don't know this, it's actually quite interesting and kind of good. HBO, in their wisdom, have decided to release the next episode, episode 5 of The Last of Us, 2 days early. They're actually releasing it on Friday at 9 p.m. US time. Now, unfortunately, on that day, me and little Gareth are on a supply run of sorts. There will be no hot take next week. Instead, you're going to get the deep dive on Sunday. Yeah. And we're very sorry, but HBO fucked us. All right. Mm. We planned out every single week. Yeah. To get it all recorded. And they've moved an episode to a Friday. Unfair in a way.
Well, it's because of the Super Bowl, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Mm. But I just thought maybe we do a
deep dive on this. And then we just do a hot take of the Super Bowl. That'd be weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
But just still call it The Last of Us or The Cast of Us Part 5 or whatever. We're just talking about the Super Bowl here. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Well, our American audience would probably very much enjoy that, John. Mm. We would have no fucking idea what we're talking about. I mean, I know the rules, so that's about it.
Yeah. Goals and that.
Yeah.
2-0
to touchdowns.
That city.
Could be Kansas City. No, could it's be. Not. It anyway, could be. It's not. But that's it. Yeah, so next week, no hot take, but deep dive out on Sunday because the episode airs on this Friday at 9 p.m. US time. Of course, thank you for supporting us. If you could be as kind as to subscribe, share the podcast, spread the word of The Cast of Us and Fan Critical, that'd be amazing. Please do also leave us a review. The reviews we've been getting are fantastic. And if you're sitting there listening to this and you genuinely are enjoying it, or even if you're not enjoying it, leave a review. We don't care. 5-star, 1-star, whatever. It is just nice to, have reviews.
Just to interrupt you, I just had to check this because I didn't want to embarrass myself just in case. But
oh my God,
in the Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I did think that, Gareth.
Yeah.
That's why I said
it's the Kansas City Chiefs. And against the Philadelphia Eagles as well. So
Philly Eagles.
But the interesting thing about that is Philadelphia, right? Which state is Philadelphia in?
Pittsburgh.
Well, it's in Pennsylvania, which is also where
Pittsburgh is.
So the state that they've moved that scene from, the whole episode from.
Wow.
This is unreal.
There you go. So some real beef between the two teams because of The Last of Us.
You stole our chapter out of The Last of Us.
Yeah.
That's what they sound like in
chapter.
Pittsburgh,
is that a book pun?
Spineless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Anyway, go Eagles or Chiefs. Actually, go Chiefs because
Terry. Go Chiefs.
Yeah, go
we
Chiefs.
Like Terry, put your best Kansas City Chiefs jersey on and listen to Fan Critical.
Mm.
Yeah? Mm. What a day. What a day Sunday will be for you. Deep dive and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I'm jealous.
Do you think we're big enough to compete with the Super Bowl yet?
What do you mean? Definitely.
We'll see when the figures...
Obviously, Last of Us, the show, is moving its episode because it's worried about the Super Bowl, but we are going toe-to-toe with the Super Bowl. That's... You know, we're not scared, are we, boys? We're fucking going for it.
Well, we're
going
to release it in time so that people can go, right, listen to this, and then a few beers, and then Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What a day that is. Honestly, should we just fly out to the US? It'd be so much better.
I think we'll just fly out, and obviously everyone will meet us at the airport, and then we'll just
someone will pick us up.
A few beers there.
Mm.
Kick on, really.
Mm. Yeah.
Who's doing the halftime show for us?
Can you imagine the halftime show was just us doing a hot take? Yeah. Like, what the fuck was Beyonce?
People would just be like, hold on. Gaz isn't as short as they made out. Boo!
And it's just John trying to do puns for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
He's like refusing to do it.
Thing about Super Bowl is it's not even a bowl.
He's right.
All right, this is absolute codswallop now.
Codswallop.
We'll catch you all on the next one. Thank you for listening. And as I said, speak to you next Sunday when we do the deep dive. No hot take, just a deep dive on episode 5 of The Last of Us. See you then. Cheers.
Go Chiefs.
Goodbye. Yeah, go Chiefs.